What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
Forever Dog.
I haven't seen any of the sequels.
Neither have I.
I saw one. Which one was
it? You saw one?
Which one?
I saw one. But it wasn't the one with the main woman. Like, they ended
up... It wasn't Candyman 2, which I believe is the second one. It's just called Candyman 2.
I think I saw three.
Oh, wait, no. I'm wrong. It's called Candyman Farewell to the Flesh.
That's the second one?
Mm-hmm.
No, I saw Day of the Dead.
And there's Candyman Day of the Dead.
Did they ever do one where it was just Helen going around killing people? Did they ever do that one?
Mm-hmm. No, because remember, she never was technically bad.
Right, but technically neither was Candyman, right?
Wait, but does she end the first one?
Yeah, at the end of the first one, he says Helen five times in the mirror and she shows up.
Yes, you're right. Right. You're right. Wow, they definitely dropped that.
Yeah, they just fully dropped. I liked what they did in this movie related to that, but they didn't do it in the sequel.
They definitely dropped that. No.
Because the sequel should have been like Candy Woman or something stupid. You know what I mean? Or Helen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Candyman 2, you know?
Yeah.
Karen.
Karen.
That's funny. I feel like someone somewhere is going to make a horror movie about Karen.
It wasn't.
Watch. Let me Google it.
They called it Candyman.
What the fuck are you doing?
Bray.
What are you doing?
Bray, none of us like that.
Hey, bruh.
None of us like that.
This ain't got nothing to do with me, bruh. This ain't got nothing to do with me. This ain't got nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
This ain't got nothing. I'm not coming back until we start. I'm not doing this.
This is gross.
Did he say it?
He did say it. And it also doesn't matter. We've already said it multiple times.
No. I have not said it looking in the screen because this is considered a black mirror. Brother, I wasn't born on a Tuesday. No.
It's being born on not a Tuesday. Hold on. What does being born on a Tuesday mean?
I don't know. My uncle always says it, even though I was born on a Tuesday. So I'm like, am I slow? It's like, is that how you're trying to? He'd be like, at least I wasn't born on a Tuesday. I was like, nigga, what? Like, I
is
was.
Is that a saying or was he just talking about that. You?
I have no, I genuinely have no idea because it has to be me. I don't know. Oh, there is a Candyman horror on BET. Lord have mercy.
No, a Karen horror movie. Y'all don't remember that? They announced it and then a month later they had a trailer. No. It wasn't that quick, but it was quick.
Wow. 2021 Karen. A racist woman makes her mission to displace a black family that just moved next door to her. All right. Well, okay. Well, this was inevitable. All right.
I'm just going to ignore the fact that Bray said,
I'm dead.
He said Candyman four and a half
times. Hey, listen. I said it four and a half times. I put my headphones down, bro. Look, so I don't know. Whatever Braylock do with his life, that ain't me, cool. Cause
I'm gonna just sit back here, be, you know, I'm just gonna eat my candy, man.
Oh no! See, Braylock, one of them niggas I can't mess with. You know what I'm saying? Because I ain't about to be out here playing these games with somebody like, oh, let's just test it out, and then like, nah. I'm leaving.
Okay,
cause.
Let's just start the show.
Jonathan Braylock,
James III,
Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is. Black men can jump.
Black actors, man.
How come they never say it fast? Everybody always says it slow.
Yeah, because for the tension, so it could be tense.
I know.
Tense.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Black people don't need to be summoning shit.
Yeah.
Facts.
That's it. It's a great line.
Candyman 3 takes place in 2020, even though it came out in
1999. Whoa. Just a fun fact. Is it? Are we about to watch that and have it be mad poignant somehow?
Wait, what? Are you serious?
Yeah, so it takes place in 2020, 25 years after the events of the second film in 1995. What is it? He comes back on the Day of the Dead to haunt another white woman.
Okay. That's fun because that I feel like this that's when this movie takes place.
Yeah, good point. Yeah,
no, it takes this place movie in 2020. Takes place in 2019.
Oh, 2019.
Yeah. I wonder if they.
I mean,
that
I guess over time it dips. But they, when they cut to the present, the date we get is 2019.
Mm-hmm. They should have said 2020. Why? They should have done the 25 years too. All right, never mind. For those of you, who don't know, this voice that you're listening to right now will be bringing up interesting factoids like that. You know, I'll be making astute observations.
What is happening
with a mild manner that somehow
get
makes
me
you want to just
get me out
do
here.
A little jig in your seat because you're like, I like this a jig? Voice.
Melissa, cut his mic off. Is that possible? So, can you cut his mic off?
Is there a way to just turn
that nigga voice. Said jig? That nigga said jig. You know, I'm stopping saying the N-word.
That voice is Jonathan Braylock.
He said jig. All right. I'm cutting back on the N-word. This voice who's cutting back on the N-word and is going to try his best is that of Gerard Milligan. I can do it.
And this nigga right here. It's James III.
No, I hate that. I hate that.
We are a film review podcast. We review the films of leading black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And today we are reviewing the 2021 sequel to Candyman titled Candyman.
Oh, yeah. They just call it the same thing. It was no.
Yeah. But why is it a sequel and they ain't even try to call it something else?
Oh, yeah.
Like... I don't know. It's kind of weird because it is a sequel.
Oh, yeah. It is a sequel. Shit.
Written by Jordan Peele, directed by Nia DaCosta. Starring Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, Tiona Paris, Nathan Stewart-Jarrett, Coleman Domingo, Vanessa Williams.
Williams?
Vanessa Williams. She was back as the as the mom.
Yeah.
Oh, let me tell you what's so messed up.
Oh, go ahead.
On the cast page, you look it up on Google, it has Vanessa Williams, the model singer, on here.
Damn. Right, not that. It's not that Vanessa Williams.
I was is she doing in this? That's messed
up. I know. Google be messing up like that. She also has acted in movies, so it is little confusing. And I actually don't quite understand because usually they must
no.
They
so I think when so I can't remember which one has to do this, but one of them has to do it, and it might be Vanessa Williams, the singer, but or it's the Vanessa Williams that was in this, but one of them has to put in a. So it's Vanessa A. Williams. And I can't, I'm just going to look at it. It's right here in front of me. I should be able to just see.
Maybe it's the singer because I don't think, it said Vanessa Williams on the credits. It didn't say Vanessa A. Williams.
I think she was acting first. And so Vanessa Williams, the singer, when she acts has to be Vanessa A. Williams, which is funny.
Right. That's a SAG requirement. You can't have two people by the same name getting credit for movies.
when I type Vanessa
Vanessa L. Williams is the singer. That's what Melissa just said.
And who's Vanessa A. Williams? Is that a person or am I making this up?
Man, I don't even know, bro.
Okay. Vanessa L. Williams is the singer. Vanessa A. Williams is who was in this movie. All right, cool. So then Vanessa has to put an L, I guess. We've been talking about
this
for too long.
E. Williams. Her middle name is Estelle.
Then who is A?
Oh, maybe you're right. It says sometimes professionally credited as Vanessa A. Williams.
No, you're right. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You ain't crazy. You ain't crazy.
But that, even though that's not her middle initial,
that's so okay. Weird. Probably sounds
that
better.
That is weird. But I feel like I feel like when the credits came up, it just said Vanessa Williams.
It might have. Honestly, who knows at this point.
What else do we need to tell you about Candyman. This film has, when it came out, it came out several weeks ago, and sorry for us, the backlog.
Several weeks ago.
it will have been several weeks ago. This movie made $22 million opening weekend. Right now, it's about $35 million. I think it only cost $25 million to make. So, you know, it's making its money.
Especially it opened better than people thought.
Definitely COVID. Opened better than people thought. And it came out number one box office the week it came out. Right now, it has an 85% on Rotten Tomatoes, 74% audience score. But both of those are fresh. Mm-hmm. And it is a sequel. And Tony Todd does make a appearance, kind of, I guess, a CGI appearance. A digital de-aging appearance, which I don't know why they felt the need to. Anyway, I guess we'll talk about that.
Yeah, I don't know why they de-aged him necessarily. I do like that they put him.
I mean, I know he's a lot older, and yeah, I guess they just wanted him to look like how he looked.
Because he's an immortal ghost. So,
yeah. Right.
Or I guess not immortal, but an undying ghost. I really liked that he ended up being in this, and I haven't looked up the process, but I remember the tweets when they announced that the movie was happening and he was like not in it and nobody had spoken to him.
Yeah.
He was like, no one's talked to me, and there was like a bunch of people like, on Twitter, of course, like sharing and being like, Tony Todd is the real Candyman. And I don't know how much of the movie, I also could probably look this up too, but I don't know how much of the movie was done or made or already without him, but I like the way he was included in this in that way. Like it made it very impactful. Even just having him in it for that little bit, I thought was really cool.
I feel like there's a lot to talk about with this movie. So shall we get to it and start with initial thoughts?
Yeah. I'm gonna go first. I love this.
Yeah, James, go first.
This was fantastic. Had a great time. I don't know. Like, I love the way that they updated it. I love I rewatched the first one before watching this. And in the first one, there's like, you're kind of watching and you're like, I think he's using Helen to commit his murders. And then when we actually see him in the flesh murdering people, it still leaves the impression on the outside that Helen is doing it. So it kind of feels like potentially he's puppeting her at first. And then he's, sort of like a Freddy kind of thing of like how he exists in one plane and then he's able to materialize kind of thing is what feels like the lure of the first one is. And then in this one, they're like, we just don't see him. I loved that. All of that was really cool. All of the effects of that were really cool. Just seeing him in the mirror, I really liked. I thought this was very well directed. I said something off mic, which was just that, like, I thought that this movie was going to be scarier than it ended up being. And I think it's just something like they did a good job of there being, I'm going to say this wrong, but there was terror in it, but I wasn't
terrified.
I'll just
That's
say
great.
That.
Yeah. To be fair, that this is what the summary of the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes says. Not as scary as the original, but it expands the story in ways that fans of the franchise should enjoy.
Yeah,
I think it was
I don't know
scary
if I agree that it's not as scary as the original. I think it is as scary as the original and has some more graphic imagery than the original, but it didn't. I thought it was going to be scarier than the original and it wasn't. Like, I was able to, like, my MO when I watch horror movies is to, like, I'm going to cover my eyes, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to, like, to lessen the tension, but I was able to kind of, like, I was able to watch this whole movie, which I was surprised about. There's a random Jurassic Park reference in this, and I was like, why is this happening?
Where?
I'm sort of meandering through my initial thoughts, but when he's attached to, at the beginning, the first kill that we get, when the guy's attached to that, to the girl in the art gallery, and he's trying to get himself unhooked from her, he goes, must go faster, which is an exact hilarious
reference to either Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park or Jeff Goldblum in Independence Day. And it's like, why is this why is this random reference in this movie?
Do you think that was an intentional reference, or do you think the actor
I think the actor, if the actor decided to even like say that or whatever, I think that it is a direct reference. It is a direct intentional reference to that, whether or not the script had it or whether or not, you know what I mean? Like whether or not it's supposed to mean something beyond referencing Jurassic Park or Jeff Goldblum, I don't know. But it was a thought. It's undeniably
right.
a reference.
He says that
to it.
when they're in the back of the, of that, like the Jeep. And then yeah. the T-Rex yeah. is chasing him
And the T-Rex is chasing him. And then he says it again when he's in the spaceship and Steve is driving and the like, it's exactly how the guy says it in this movie. I have no idea why. It fully took me out. I was upset. It
was like, he's a Jeff Goldblum fan, man.
That's so funny. I didn't clock it as a reference, but I did clock it as like an actory thing to say in that moment because it didn't feel realistic. I was like, who when they're chained to like the dead body of a girl that they've just been like, you know, sexual with, like is trying to hook it and says must go faster. It's like you're talking to your you know what I mean, like you wouldn't be like must go faster, you know, like that's such a I was like, that's such a performer thing to do.
I loved it.
Must go faster. But must anyway, I will just say I loved Yaya was fantastic. Tiana was fantastic. The acting was so good. I loved her brother. I feel like I recognize
oh,
him.
Oh yeah, he was
I
great
from Doctor Who.
Wait, the brother's from Doctor Who?
He was in an episode, but I was like looking. I was like, why do I know him? And that was the thing that popped out. That was like, oh, it was probably that. I really liked it. I loved the use of Say My Name. I remember in the trailer, I was like, I'm gonna hate this. I love the way it was used in this movie. I feel like that's the subtitle. I don't know why they didn't go with that.
I was thinking the same thing.
yeah.
Why didn't I just say it?
Say My Name. I mean, it's such an integral part of this movie.
And they say it so much.
They say anyway. But anyway, we'll get into more. I'll get into more specifics as we talk about it. But there was just so much about the movie that I really enjoyed. I will say when they first brought up the thing of like Candyman is going to come and only kill these white cops. When that first happened, I was like, I don't think I like this. Just for like a split second, I was like, do I hate this? and then I don't know. And then I immediately was like, nope, this is great. And the puppetry and stuff and how they sort of galvanized Candyman in this. They updated the lore. I really was moved by it.
Yeah, man. I thought this movie was directed fantastic. Like, it looked great. Love the puppets. Love the acting. Don't like this movie. Don't like it. I think everything is great. I don't like it. Like, I am not a person who, like, because I used to get mad at Bray for this. But I'm not a person who dissects, like, does this make sense? Does it not? Watching this movie, at one point, Rachel and I were like, wait, what the fuck? Why? It was like, the ending we got to get into, because y'all might be smarter than me, because I just don't fucking get it.
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to have to talk about the ending. Yeah.
And then the lore alone, I was like, the rules of how he works now don't make sense. Like, even the fact that, like, not even just that.
It is because of the ending that it doesn't work. Confusing.
But even before then, like, the way he used to work in the old movies is like, for instance, if we were all in the same room and Bray was to say his name five times, Bray's getting got.
Right.
We gonna be there when it goes down.
See,
and be like,
this is true.
But Bray gets got.
Well, here's the thing. The only thing that you're talking about in which somebody doesn't say it and they get Well, one is obviously the ending, but then it's also the first one with the art collectors. But they both say it once. They like, he completes it. She says it four times, and he says it the fifth time. And because they're both, I think it's because they're both like looking at the mirror at the same time. Like, it counts. You know what I mean? That's what I was like. Okay, that makes sense. The ending is different. The ending, you're right.
It, also, the rules are broken. I'll also just say it is a little confusing in the first one, too, because the first story that we hear, it's a story, so we don't actually see it happening. But the first story that we hear, the guy says it 4 times. The woman says it the 5th time after the guy has left. And mm-hmm. she's the one that gets killed. And a child there that they were babysitting. That person, that kid also gets killed. But the guy who said it the other 4 times gets away. But that's the story.
Wait, that's in the original?
That's in the story of the original in the 1992. So again, the stories are different, right? Like there's always embellishing in the stories. But the rules were confusing in the first one too. I'll just say that.
And also, something about it never bothered me in the old one. But because this one was so so in your face about gentrification and how black people were treated, which I understand why they did it. I was mad that he was killing black folk too. I was like,
that bothered me in the first movie. In the first movie, just the idea. I actually don't remember if we see black people get killed in the first movie.
No, you don't. You just know it happened. Like he killed.
You know that it happened.
He kills the friend. He also kills her friend.
The black woman.
She was black. Yeah. Her best friend in the movie.
And I don't know why that bothered me in this one, but I think because it's like, you know, the racist cops and stuff, which I was like, got it. And I don't know why, but it just bothered me. Even the Yaya part of it, I was like, this don't make. I was like, yo, and I'm not, I swear to you, I am not a person who cares, but I was like, this don't make sense. And some of it is so like blatant that I'm like, because it was 2 things that was happening at the same time. And I think I don't like it. I don't like when things are like not nuanced. Like clearly this is about gentrification. Like they were hitting it hard. But even when you watch the original and it's about like slavery.
It's kind of funny because like that his art, like the art that he's drawing, like the first thing that, you know, Tiana, like his girlfriend says is like, it's pretty literal.
It
draws it and it's like, it's pretty one-on-one. Like, it's
like, no interpretation needed.
No interpretation needed. Like, he just drew it.
And I get it. Like, you know, I this makes sense. And I think if this would have came out when it was supposed to, like before Lovecraft, before all this stuff, before we went through an era of just like historical black pain be reinterpreted in different ways, I think it would have hit different. But I'm like, I have now seen our struggle be turned into horror 4 or 5 times now, like blatantly. And it's like, all right, but that's just me. It's a good movie. And I know a lot of people love it. So I'm not, I just did not enjoy it.
But it's the same reason that like, that when he comes and starts killing the white cops, I was like, I don't think I like this, because we have seen this so many times, you know, and this is super literal. This is super head on. I would argue that the first movie is as head on as this. They just do more. This movie just does more stuff. Mm-hmm. So like they just do more things.
I wanted Yaya to be like, if you watch the original, Tony Todd is not smart, but he's cognizant. Like he knows what's happening. He's like fucking with people, like. Our Candyman, no offense, is a goon in a superhero movie. It's like when you watch The Dark Knight and you're like, oh shit, Bane is a badass. But then you realize like somebody else was pulling the strings. It's like Yaya, he literally almost once everything starts happening, doesn't exist anymore. And it's not just a vessel, but it's not even like we see Tony Todd talking through the... I
hear what you're saying.
I don't know. Yeah. It just felt like we took it away. And I was like, yo, the black woman, make her. I was like, literally, she Candyman now. Like, we got the family going through it. Like, I was like, it's going to be a fucking pack of candy people at the end of this movie fucking shit up. It's going to be like all the Candyman plus her, like, controlling these motherfuckers or part of it. And I was like, I don't tell people what, nigga. Tell them what? What she going to say?
Say her name. Say his name.
You going to send this black woman whose life you just have ruined, her husband gone, her people are gone. Like, this woman now seems crazy. You've ruined this white woman's life. At least the nigga Yaya is like a specter and can go around just murking niggas. What's she about to be? Come on, man. You ruined this lady's life for what? Is she now like... I was annoyed, bro. I'm sorry. I was like, no. No. Well,
did he ruin her life? She's the one who called him.
No, I'm saying before that. But no, before that. Once Domingo kidnapped her. Anyway, Bray, say your part.
Yeah.
I'm getting mad for some reason.
We'll get into all of that. Yeah, I mean, so this is what I'll say. I think I definitely enjoyed this movie. I think it's a very watchable film. I think anybody who likes like horror films like will like and appreciate at least the directing of it. Like Gerard said, like the directing of it is fantastic.
So beautiful.
It's funny. It's like there's a part of me that almost is like, oh, this seems like this film was made more for the directing of it than it was for the actual story. And because it's like, I actually think that's part of why it wasn't as scary. It's like it wasn't necessarily filmed to be scary. It was filmed to be like I don't know, cool. Like artistic horror. Yeah. Like, you know, like the ways in which she decided to like capture and kill people was like very cool and interesting. And it wasn't like, you know, basic slasher film where we're gonna like hang on like a person like walking through a dark room and then finally do a jump scare with something in the back, you know, and then like, you know, it was like it wasn't basic artsy. Like that.
It was artsy and it was
visually appealing. It made it less scary, which I don't honestly for me is fine. Like because I was like kind of nervous going into this film, and then I also think it helped that the trailer definitely spoiled this movie, in which I knew almost every single death that was going to happen. So I was like, well, I know that person's going to die, and I know when they're going to die. You know what I mean? Like, so I knew when to expect it and that kind of stuff. And I think this film, I don't know if this is fair to say. I actually think Us is a better film than this film as a whole. This film has like a little bit of Us problems in the sense of like interesting idea, not maybe fully thought out, or if it was thought out, just not fully executed and allowed to like kind of skip little logic connections because they're like, well, who cares, it's just a movie at the end of the day. Also, by the way, this film is only an hour and 30 minutes. Thank you.
I know, it was tight. I looked it up. I was like, yeah, wow,
it's like, because while the end was happening, I was like, oh wow, this is the ending already. And then I was like, I'm cool with this. Films don't need to be 2.5 hours long. Like, they just don't.
I agree.
Like, this is a good running time for the movie. But yes, I mean, at the end of the day, I do feel like, oh, there were some things that didn't quite add up. The ending is pretty confusing as to the logic of the legend. I also like, it doesn't feel, and it's like, it does kind of get at you because they're trying to set up, they're trying to like back up this lore, and the idea around it is interesting, but when you face the reality that this dude is just kind of indiscriminately killing people who say his name, it doesn't actually connect. So I, as much as like they want to bring up the gentrification and the, you know, violence against Black people and all this stuff, and like kind of like infuse that with into Candyman, to me it doesn't fully add up. So I mean, I'm excited we're gonna get to talk about it, but yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, the idea is more interesting than like what you actually did, if that makes sense. And it's tough to do.
it's been a minute since we've talked about the first Candyman, but I feel like we said the same thing about the first Candyman, right, as well. Like, there's just a point, and it's around the same time in both movies, where it's just like, I was fully on board with what you were setting up, and now it doesn't make sense, and I don't like it as much anymore. Yeah. Like, it's like both movies kind of end on weird notes. They're like third acts in both movies are so many great points and ideas and thoughts have been put up, and then to conclude it, it's tough to do. I think that I personally think that this movie does a better job of sticking the landing, and almost only because of the credits, almost only because of the credit puppetry that they do.
Oh, I love it.
But even just in the sort of introducing of Tony Todd and Tony Todd deciding not to kill whatever Tiana's character's name was, and instead telling her to tell everyone, say my name, et cetera, et cetera. that stuck the landing a little bit more for me than like, let's give Helen the Candyman, let's give Helen the hook, and Helen is now, you know what I mean? Like that was all of that stuff was like, I think it almost undermined.
It's interesting
what we're doing.
There's a part of me that's like, oh, well, okay, if I'm trying to make sense of this logic, it's that the first person who brings back Candyman is not killed, but is almost tasked to like spread his name so that he can start killing other people.
Yeah.
You know? And so it was Helen in 1992. It's Yaya for this, but by the time Tiana says his name again, Yaya's dead, so it's actually her now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So like that's the idea would be she's not killed, but she's gonna get other people to say his name, and then she'll slowly also become Candyman.
Yeah, and to Gerard's point, her life is
over.
Is over. It's ruined. Yeah. It's ruined.
It's done. Yeah. And my thing is they had an opportunity, and maybe this wasn't the point. We had an opportunity to kind of like turn the heads on, you know, the final girl trope. And I guess that's what they did here because she's like on his team now.
Yeah, they do a little bit, but they don't do it. But they certainly don't do it as much as you feel like they're going to do. When Yaya disappears and they really start focusing on Tiana, it's like it really does feel like you're like, oh, shit, we've shifted gears and now we're following her. Right.
Yeah.
But then at the end, she does still just sort of need to be saved by him. And
because he's still alive. It's a weird ending. But let's start.
Yeah, let's go through it. Yeah, you're right.
Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, you know, I just had a job end, which, you know, I was very fortunate to have. But it's so funny how quickly stress starts to accumulate when you're not working.
It's too much. It's too much. It's heavy.
You know?
I got the shakes and, you know, the heart palpitations, all of it.
I agree. I will say I've had the benefit of not being unemployed this long since 2009. What are we in April? Soon to be May. And I have not had a paycheck all of 2024. So this is the most stress I've ever had. My parents may need to get an aide. And I'm like, who's coming to save the day? So stress is high. Anxiety is high.
And, you know, sometimes to talk about this stress, therapy can be a safe space. Like, get that stuff off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down, you know, instead of just keeping it all bottled up and feeling like you have to hold everything inside. I know therapy has helped me. I almost look at it as like check-in. Like sometimes I got a lot to say, sometimes not so much, but it's like, it is super, super helpful.
Yeah. I appreciate getting the tools to like kind of understand the mechanism of how I'm behaving, you know, and reacting in certain situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I use BetterHelp, and Timothy, black male therapist, saves the day because he gets it, man. I'm like, you know what? Thank you, bro. For sometimes it's just 30 minutes of just me rambling, and I'm like, oh, you didn't even say hello yet. and he's like, keep going. I'm like, thank you. Yes.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule, which is absolutely essential these days. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you can get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you want, switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/jump.
You gotta jump to get that BetterHelp. BetterHelp!
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
The one thing I will say, the difference between that one and this one is that I actually think the first one is like way more surreal. Like it's, and because it has like Tony Todd, like speaking periodically throughout the movie to her. And he has this like deep booming, like kind of mesmerizing voice. It's like the whole film, you feel like you're in a trance.
Yeah.
Which is like, and they what also she's in.
Hypnotized her. They also hypnotized Virginia Madsen before those scenes, so like it really just is trance like and you know, and Philip Glass's music and all of like it's very all of that stuff is very. I'll say for the beginning of this, I loved the mirror images of all of the title cards.
And then
if you remember, the first movie opens with an aerial shot of Cabrini Green and Chicago, and this movie opens with
it's
a
like
shot
upside down.
Upside down. That was amazing.
The opening, like looking like upside down at the buildings. I was like, this is freaky.
I mean, honestly, I will say this: there is 100% reason why Nia is directing a Marvel movie. Like when you watch this, I'm like, this is her second movie. Like,
yeah.
Just period. Second, we're like, this shit looks great. And it's one of those things where like watching it, like, this is so cool. Again, I think the hard part is because I know her and Jordan wrote the story. And let's get into it. It's just one of those things where like, I love the flashback. And I am not, Braylock's gonna get mad. I am not a person who can pick who the bad guy is or something like that until see who's portraying them. Until I see he's betraying
them. Second Coleman showed up.
The moment he showed up, I was like, all right. And then Rachel openly goes, like, Rachel gets the Yaya thing quick. She was like, Yaya's definitely, like, got to be the baby, right? And I was like,
wow.
Like, she picked that.
Yeah.
She picked it quick. Like,
I was
quick.
So mad because
that's crazy.
I read the Wikipedia and I saw his name before seeing the movie. And I only did it because I was like looking up the original Candyman and for whatever reason decided to just click on the sequel. But anyone that watched the movie right before, it's very obvious because they say his name. They say his name in like the second scene. So you
would say the baby's name.
They say the baby's name in the second. They call him Anthony McCoy in like the second or third scene. So as much as it is a secret, it's not a huge reveal, really.
If you were up on the first one, right, you would have caught it.
Well, because I will say this though, like not knowing that it was him when it was finally, and not remembering that Vanessa Williams was in the first one as the mom. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't do much for me. Like I wasn't like, oh, that's interesting. He's connected. But it wasn't, it doesn't feel like it necessarily added to the story. I guess it makes this make a little more sense, but
you
know what I mean? Like it wasn't by, I'm like,
yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't really
change much for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't. It sort of more just justifies why we're watching this.
It's just like, this is why. And again, I don't want to diss it. Like, for everyone who loves it, because I have some of my boys really love this movie. Everything that they do makes sense. It's just certain parts that I'm like, feels almost like style over substance, where it's like almost trying to make things too smart. Whereas like, you know how people are always like, yo, just simple works best. And I was like, this felt like things got too complicated. It was like, we didn't need all that. This nigga got killed by some racist white folk. Now he coming back and he just fucking up racist white. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's just a simple way to do it. Yeah. But anyway, how did it start outside of it's the flashback to the 70s, right?
Yeah. So it starts with the flashback.
We see a little kid who eventually, I mean, we've been spoiling this movie the entire time. So, you know, that there's spoilers. But yeah, eventually we find out that this kid is Coleman Domingo. But, you know, anyway, it's just a kid, little kid, has to go do laundry, goes down. I love the, like, the lights go out and then you realize it's a timer thing.
Also, my God, there's a shot.
Huge hole in the freaking wall.
There's a shot that's so, honestly, the way she frames stuff is fucking fantastic. It's like, there's a shot of, like, him in the laundry room and, like, for some reason, like, he's towards the right of the screen. And then, like, the camera slowly moves and the hole is just present. And it's like you see a little light. So it's almost like a person walks past it, but it's not a jump scare. It's just like, yo, it's a nigga in this.
It's freaky.
Jail.
But you're also expecting, like, oh, is there going to be a jump scare? You know, it's like, you know, great horror film of like, I'm going to hold on something where the character doesn't notice, but you see that maybe something's about to come out of this thing.
Yeah.
And you're just waiting the whole time trying to like be like, when is it going to happen? It's going to happen now. It's going to happen now. You know, I don't know if this is what you were getting at, but before Gerard, but it does seem like this Candyman, like the actual person who gets beat up and killed by the police is, I guess, like on mentally, the spectrum or mentally, you know, handicapped in some way. Like, it's like he's given out candy. He has a hook for a hand. I forgot. Oh, sorry. No. Wait, he does have a hook for a hand.
I grew up with people who were veterans and stuff. Not saying this guy was a veteran, but who had that kind of hook, the ones that you can grip with, which he has in this one.
Right. Yeah, maybe he is a veteran of war, but we don't know. We don't know anything about him. We just know that he actually was giving out candy to children, which is a creepy thing to do.
Already weird. Yeah.
You know, and it's like very connected to pedophilia, like people who kidnap kids. So like, it's like a guy that you probably wouldn't want hanging around your children.
I mean, my man was hanging out in walls, like he was hiding in the walls because they were after him. I'll say there was a woman in our neighborhood who sold candy, and she was cool. Like, you know what I mean? Like we you know, everybody, all the kids was up at her spot trying to get the candy from time.
Same.
To time.
I think what you needed was like for better or worse, the original Candyman, once Tony Todd becomes like a part of the story, they humanize him very quickly. Like it really becomes about like this man who was in love with the wrong person and how America hated him for it and did what they did to him. In this movie, it was like these different candy men, and the one that we focus on the most, we don't know much about. Like we know like he was, you know, probably mentally disabled a little bit. And like we know we hear he was innocent. But outside of that, like it's not really focused on him.
And because of that, it's the thing that you were talking about, where when we start to see him, he's never speaking. He's like, he's just looking or killing. And because of that, it's like, it's actually less scary. Well, it's like, cause it's not a person, right? Like, so like Freddy Krueger,
We
have to talk about Freddy Krueger because Freddy Krueger is the closest relationship to Candyman in terms of like, it's like a thing that you like don't speak his name, but if you start to speak his name, you know, you will be summoning him. Freddy Krueger, of course, haunts people in their dreams. Candyman haunts people through the mirrors, but like, they're both like killing folk who like start to remember their names, you know. But Freddy Krueger's backstory is very specific. And it's also like, I feel like there are a couple, but the last one that I remember is he was suspected or really did molest children.
I think he really did.
He did.
He really did. He molested. So he was a terrible person to begin with. He molested children. The town got together. They like burned him alive, essentially. And so he is like cursed, like basically comes back and like kills the next children, you know, the descendants of these people.
I was about to say this. Keep going.
So it's like, it's very targeted. It's not random. It's a targeted thing with like also a person who you're like, this person is still evil. Like, you know, whereas we feel bad for the Candyman people who get killed because they're like killed unjustly, or at least that's what this movie's trying to set up. But then they go and do horrible things by just killing random people, including children. Yeah. So that doesn't quite add up.
Yeah. After this movie was over, I took my whites to see this. And after this movie was over.
You said you took what?
I took my whites.
You took your whites?
I took my whites to see this movie. And afterwards, I was like, the one problem
Wait,
that I have.
Time
with,
out.
The
time
one
out.
Problem that I
Time out. Let me. Hold on. Time out. So did you see it first? Did you like black?
No. I went with my whites.
Okay.
I attended.
Okay. I thought you saw it. I was like, let me make sure this shit is okay.
And afterwards, I was just talking about a big problem that I have with both movies is they both kind of try to do this thing where it's like, you know, Candyman is this guy who was unjustly killed, you know, through racism, and you know, and now he, you know, is this sort of eternal being that whenever you say his name, he kills you. And I was like, I've always had a problem because it sort of seems like there are also all these people that sort of die senselessly. Mm-hmm. And one of them responded with just like, maybe that is also the point, that it is senseless. Like none of this should happen, you know? And a thing that I feel like specifically Coleman who's like, we need Candyman back because he at whatever age he was in the 90s. So I guess he was probably how old would he have been?
20s, I guess.
20s, maybe at the time. Yeah.
But it's not 90s. He was a kid in the 70s.
No. He was
but in the 90s.
Sorry,
everyone that lived in that area agreed never to say his to we're gonna not say his name anymore. You know, we're gonna do away with him, and you know, cut to 2019. A bunch of black people are being senselessly murdered by the cops, and if I'm Coleman Domingo, I'm thinking maybe if we had our Candyman back, you know, we might have some collateral damage. Some people who are daring to say his name might die, but we would still have our venging force. Yeah. That's the idea that they're trying to maintain. And I didn't have a.
Is it?
Yes. Okay. I really do think so.
I think they're trying to weaponize him too.
Yeah, they are weaponizing him. And I, the reason that I think that I think that this has problems because I again had that same feeling when I left. But I do think that this movie does a better job of dealing with it because we have Coleman, who is wrong, right? Like he should he made a pact with everyone in town. I'm not going to bring this up anymore. But now he's looking at the Black Lives Matter movement and everything that's happening, and he's going, "If only we had Candyman back." And he's going, His sister, right?
Died.
At least I assume his sister is killed by Candyman, even, and he's like, even though that happened, I agree with you that it is senseless, and I think that it is his sort of off-kilterness.
Where we get no proof from the first movie to this movie until the end, that Candyman is enacting, you know, revenge on the people who killed him. It's not even like the original Candyman killed the cops. Was able to somehow kill the cops that killed him. We don't get that at all. He's just killing. Essentially, what we know from the first movie is that he was just killing other people in the hood, right? He was just killing other black people who did know about him, right? Like, those are the people who actually did know about him. And then, but the thing is, like, the reason I actually disagree that I think, like, the first movie at least from my recollection of it, does a better job is because the first movie feels a little more personal. This movie is trying to be like,
it is.
The line, Candyman's not a he, it's the whole damn hive, is like a cool line. And I do like the idea behind, like, it's not just him. It's this legacy of Black people who've been unjustly murdered. And like, yeah. he exists in all of them. That's an interesting idea. But with the first movie, but that's not this movie. And the first movie, because it's more personal, I can buy, like, this dude isn't like trying to enact revenge on behalf of a whole Black community. He's just upset that he got killed and nobody cared about, you know, he feels nobody cared about it. And so he's just like, well, I'm a kill other people until you, I want you, everyone to say right. my name. I want everyone to remember what happened to me. I don't care if you're Black, white, whatever. It's like, I'm just like, I feel like the world killed me and I'm going to kill the world.
It's better, you know, if it's indiscriminate versus trying to be tied to,
because it is indiscriminate. If it wasn't, yeah. See, because if the thing is, for it to be tied, then it feels like it can't be indiscriminate, because then it doesn't make any, you know what I mean? It doesn't really feel like it makes
sense.
I think
that's my thing about it, which you're hitting on, Bray. It's like, it needed to pick one or the other. Like, to me, the line of like, it's the whole damn hive, again, in my mind, I'm thinking we end in this movie with a fucking fleet. Like, it's going to be like a Black woman Candyman. It's going to be like a little kid Candyman. It'd be like, yeah. like the Emmett Till version of him who like got fucked over and is like, but, I'm back. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it does end that way. It's just, one dude in the puppet show. No, it's just that's in the puppet
show. But isn't
show,
the puppet
you
show?
Know? Like, we don't.
Oh, it's the puppet show, because that's showing.
Did you watch the whole credits?
And the puppet shows are like the other ones who died.
Mm-hmm,
gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And we literally see.
Yes, you're right.
We literally see a fleet. They stand up like the Avengers.
You're right.
They're all this movie does do that. It just doesn't. It just doesn't do it within the live action portion of it. But I'll say that I do, after hearing y'all talk about like Candyman, indiscriminate Candyman versus like trying to make him a part of the movement. I mean, that must be what irked me about the cop scene at the end. But I don't know. I feel like in watching the first one, what I don't like about the second half is the implication is, you know, that Candyman is a vengeful spirit because of the racial injustice that happened to him,
mm-hmm.
you know, but then the way that they stick the landing in that first one is the sort of complicated thing of him like, I'm going to kill a baby if you don't come with me.
Yeah. I mean,
you know what I mean? Like all of that stuff
yeah.
that I just feel like I accepted a little bit more in the sequel than in the first.
I wish they would have took something out of, I don't know, one of those Jurassic Park movies. I'm just thinking about this the only time I remember it. Like, I wish they would have had a person openly, like, for the movie being like, we need to bring him back. We need to, like, someone who's openly trying to weaponize him from the beginning. You know what I'm saying? And maybe like that turned and like it didn't work out. Like maybe like this, if Coma Domingo was like, it wasn't some secret or something, like, and he was openly trying, he was, even if he didn't say we need to bring him back, it's like, yo, he said it once when he saw him in Kapiti Green. He's like, yeah, man, you know, the cops are over here. Are they trying to keep us in and keep us out? Blah, blah, blah. Beat us down. It's like, if this dude openly was like, yeah, but they didn't do that when Candyman was here. And we saw the cracks of like, yo, this nigga wants him back. You know what I mean? And so, like, it would have hit that he's trying to weaponize him, and then the movie could have showed, like, this guy's trying to bring him back, and it's turning on him in some way, you know?
It's a weird thing, because it's like, okay, so, because we're talking about it as a whole, but, like, so this is how it happens, is the first thing we hear is the brother of, I forgot Tiana's character, but, anyway, her brother, it's like, want to hear a scary story, you know? And she's like, no. And he's like, well, too bad, I'm telling it anyway.
Brianna is her name, and his name's Troy.
Okay, so Troy tells them all this story of Helen, right? He never says the name Candyman. It's all about this real story of, you know, Helen, as we know from the first movie, who just was in Cabrini Greens, like, researching urban legends, and then all of a sudden snapped and started killing, like, killed a dog, started killing people, and winds up, you know, trying to kill a little baby. They stop her, but she just jumps into this kind of fire that they have, bonfire that they have every year. And they're like, that's crazy. That's insane. Like, there's no way that's real. And then he looks it up and it is real, right? Meanwhile, we understand that he's an art, he's an artist. She's an art, what do you call them?
Dealer or
she's a curator.
She's a curator. And he hasn't done good work in like the past 2 years. He needs inspiration. He hears this story and he's like, oh yeah, like this is, this story sounds good. Like, I feel like I'm connected to this story. You know, maybe this will be my inspiration. I'll go to Cabrini Green. He goes and the, in these projects, like they're in what used to be Cabrini Green projects, mm-hmm. but it's been gentrified. They live in like a high rise, like luxury apartment. But there's like just a small area within this city that's still like, hasn't been completely torn down, but it's gated off, and he jumps over and he's just kind of walking around trying, taking pictures. And that's when he bumps into Coleman Domingo, and Coleman Domingo's like, yeah, man, he talks about the cost. You know, they used to never come around here. Now they're always around here, blah, 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 blah. And then eventually, because Yaya asked about Helen, he starts talking about Candyman. Mm-hmm. Now, this is my thing. Because again, like, if this is his intention to bring back, like what James is saying of like, well, he starts to see all of these, you know, black people dying. First of all, I mean, black people have been dying for a while, so I don't know why now. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Like, but like, he's like, well, he's like, you know, he's like, I can't keep it anymore. You know, he's, you know.
But this is set in 2019. It's not even 2020. I mean, I guess they said it in 2019 so they don't have to deal with the pandemic. But like, it's still like, well, it's not like 2019 was a banner year for black people being killed.
No, I think the point is that it's always
right,
been
but
consistent.
In 2019, yes, and there's also sort of this sort of coincidence of that is also the time that Anthony finally came back because he was specifically waiting for Anthony.
Now question: you think he knew? Oh, because
he knew who the kid was.
I knew one day you would come back. In his like final monologue to him.
Got it.
So
okay,
like he
sorry.
Was waiting for him. So that's the other thing.
He was waiting for this kid specifically because he was like, this kid's the connection to Candyman. Got it. Okay. Yeah. Well, then that makes more sense, I guess.
It's hard because I don't want to dissect this movie.
It doesn't make a lot
that's
of sense.
That's what I'm saying.
It just
makes
more sense.
No, but yeah. I'm telling you. And maybe this was more my take from that first movie. This might have just been how I walked away from it. But I walked away from that first movie with enough questions still that I was like, any sort of thing that like was kind of gray about this, I was like, yeah, well, it's always been this way. Like, I've always been kind of like, what? Like, we're doing this now?
I know. Well, this is the thing. This is the thing about the first film that makes it easier to swallow for me, which is that because the whole film, you're in this trance-like state and you don't quite understand.
Yeah, what's like, real and what's
more,
not.
But yeah. I'm more okay with the, like, I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But, like, the main character in the movie is also like, what's going on? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this time it's like, he's not like fully like what's going on. It's a weird thing. Cause it's like partly that, like from the trailer, I thought that's what was happening. It was like similar to Helen and it kind of is, but it feels decidedly different.
The thing about watching it the whole time, knowing that he's the kid from the first movie, and this is something I love about Yaya's performance, is he has such a childlike interest in Candyman when they first bring him up, and then sort of throughout the movie, even though his arm is falling apart and like people are dying and stuff, he still kind of has a bewildered like he's being pulled to it. And I think that he does a great job of that, of portraying this like deeper connection to it that like is either clearly obvious to people that are like, oh, that's the kid, or that like just, you know, just is inherent in like in what they were trying to do with him being the boy from the first movie.
I agree with you, and that makes sense. I think my problem with that is that there was no conflict in him. Like for instance, like when I look at Tiona Parrish, like she was black. And what I mean by that was, is there are certain moments in this movie, like even at the end, where like she opens up the fucking basement door, nope, and walk, like there's a certain moments like her brother were doing shit that's like, if a black person was in a horror movie, like they're gonna ask questions. Even if I'm excited, my man, for the most part, was just so excited. There was no conflict of like, damn, people dying. Yo, my arm, the bee bite, like it felt like, oh, I'm looking at it, I'm gonna pick at it, but there was no. It's something about seeing him not, almost not care about anything else so quickly that he doesn't feel like the lead of this movie. Like the white woman in the first one, it was so much happening. And then in this movie, it definitely does shift to Tiona's character. But it's like, that's because she is dealing with what's happening in the world and he never does. Like
it doesn't feel like he's, even when he's like, even when he is fighting or like when he's in the elevator and he gets scared or when he's at the critic's house and he's like, I gotta go. Like, even when that stuff is happening, there does still feel like very little resistance to this transformation.
Yeah.
And
like, wouldn't you look it up?
Fear doesn't feel real almost. Like, it's like he's afraid to see Candyman. But he's not like he even says like, I made a mistake, and we see him like, you know, and Tiona's like, is that Candyman's not real. Look, Candyman, and he breaks the mirror and like, and that causes her to freak out. I don't know, like, I don't even know how to explain it, but
in this movie, if this was a movie, and this is when the Coma D'Amico character could have been so utilized, is like in this movie, I told Rachel this, like, yo, if I or somebody I ever know comes and be like, hey, yo, a ghost of some shit is happening, I'm asking no questions. We either got to leave or we got to try to fix this shit. Cause I'm like, I'm not about to like, I don't have time to waste. Like, if you brought it up to me, that means you know this shit sound crazy. So to me, it's like in this movie, you would have had the point of like someone going to see a priest. In this situation, Coleman Domingo was his person. But instead of going to Coleman and being like, yo, I think something's happening, how do I stop this, blah, 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 he just goes and hears more stories about Candyman, but not anything that we didn't hear. Like, it wasn't... Even the part that made me the most mad in this whole movie is that when he goes to his mom, because now I guess he figured it out himself, over the phone.
Well, he figures out in the hospital. So he finally goes to the hospital for his hand, which was like a way late.
I went to the bathroom and I missed the whole scene where he learns about, I saw the mom scene, but I missed that whole moment.
But he finally goes to the hospital for his hand. But even though it's so clear that it's on his neck at that point, and the doctors don't say anything about that, and they never say like what was wrong or anything. They literally just go like, they're like, anyway, nothing, it's a good thing you came in when you did, you know. But they do, but the woman says, welcome back, which is, I think, it's a movie thing. It's kind of a crazy thing to say.
1,000% a movie thing. No one would ever.
She says, welcome back. And he's like, what? And he's like, oh, you were born here. And he's like, no, I was born on the South Side. And she was like, nope. Like, so it shows here, you were born here.
Yeah.
Like, at this hospital. And so that's why he goes to his mom and he's like, you lied to me. Like, I wasn't.
Okay. Can we talk about this?
Here.
Okay. This
like,
is my question.
What's going on? He also says the doctors fixed him up.
Hand
is not
there's
fixed.
There's a logic that like it's hard because a lot of other people are dealing with the real world, but the main guy. And that bothers me. Even when it comes to this part with his mom, I'm like, as a person who grew up with a single mom for most of my life, it's like there is a way you speak, and then there's a way that mom treats you. Like again, I'm the only child. This boy's the only child. Like, we know how much his mom cares, clearly, because she's about to go in a goddamn fire to like save this nigga. And it's like, I do not understand the transition from him hearing that, yo, you're Candy, like Candyman was trying to get you, I'm sorry, to him walking out the house just angry, like saying nothing. And then the next time we see him, he's in a trance in Candyman. He was cognizant enough to ask questions to his mom, leaves, and the next time we see him, he's getting his hand sawed off. It's like, this shit don't make sense. What happened? Like, what was the purpose? Like, what?
I mean, there's definitely a scene missing.
Yeah.
And then, nigga, imagine one of y'all.
There has to be a scene that they
black person, black men. Imagine one of y'all.
You started this. You didn't need to start this episode.
I'm trying to stop it in my real life. I'm trying to hold myself accountable. But no, but seriously.
I'm remembering now.
I've only been two. But my point is, if y'all found out that one of you guys had a specter chasing you and was like trying to get you, are you not going to try to figure out how do I get this motherfucker off my back? Like, how do I fix this? Like, none of that happened here.
Right. And that's what Helen is trying through. I mean, she starts to get the people think that she is killing these people. But there is at least that thing in the movie where she's like, I'm trying to escape Candyman. Like, I'm trying to get I don't want to be a part of this. And he maybe doesn't want to be a part of it, but is also very it feels like it's like a zombie, like almost like it's like he got bit and it's like he can't help it. And he's just like slowly becoming a zombie. And there's like nothing he can really do about it. Like he's kind of resigned to
but
his
But there's something to that too,
almost.
Right? Like if I'm watching a zombie movie, if I'm watching Dawn of the Dead, the remake, and I'm looking at Mekhi Phifer with the zombie baby, like he going through, there's a conflict of like, I don't want this zombie, but my wife died birthing this baby. Like, it's a conflict. He physically had no conflict. It was just like, yes, James is right. He was excited. Like, oh my God, this is so cool. Of course. But then, nigga, when your fucking hand starts turning into something, and he's just picking it. I'm like, what the? Like,
that's actually, I couldn't watch that when he was picking at his hand and like taking his nails off. I was like, yep, I'm just going to look away.
And even if you watch The Fly, which that scene, like that kind of body horror was very reminiscent of, it is a tragedy. Like when Jeff Goldblum, when his nail comes off, it is fucking tragic. Yeah. He is crying. He is like, yo, I am turning into a, Gina Davis is like, what's happening? My nuts fell off. Like he is losing his shit. You know what I mean? And he's trying to fix it. Like,
I agree with everything you're saying. So this is not to disagree, but the thing that I think that I was forgiving a few things. One, I never understood the baby in the first movie. so him be, even after seeing it, I think I've now seen it in the last 2 years,
what
maybe
was
four
there to
times.
Understand necessarily? It was just
The thing that happens in the first movie is he says, "You come with me to Helen, and I can live again," which I can only assume is just a lie so that he can get Helen, who looks like this woman who he was with, to come with him. And I guess he still needs the baby in order to be resurrected.
He was going
to
murk both of them, no matter what.
He was always going to kill them no matter what. And it's just this kind of like question of like, why does he need the baby? Like Helen has actually been spreading your name. Like, what is the point of this baby? Like being reborn in the baby was the point, but it was like, even in watching it, you're just like, I still don't get why he needs this baby. Hmm. So in this one, we literally see, we ultimately see Yahya become the Candyman in a way that I guess he needed, but if the reality is that, you know, if you are killed, if you're a black person and you're killed in a brutal way, you can become the Candyman. We still don't need this baby. So I was forgiving any sort of
just... Well, there's no baby anymore. It's just
right.
We
don't need this
man.
We don't need this adult man. So I was forgiving all of that. But then the other thing that I will say is there was the connection to his art and the trance of like the fame that he was trying to get through his art that was allowing me to sort of forgive this kind of essentially like this inhumane looking at these deaths in this sort of unfazed kind of way, even though he's affected, even though he's scared, even though it's this and that.
He actually never see, unlike Helen, he's never really present the closest he comes is leaving the critic's house and she dies right after it.
Yeah.
But like, he never sees Candyman kill anybody.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird, actually, to me, because it's like, I thought one of the coolest parts of the original Candyman is the fact that like, she's there when these people are dying and she's like getting people's blood. Like it is incriminating her in this way. Like even when she escapes, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like that part is kind of, it's like kind of cool in the sense that you're like, what do you do when like there's a specter killing people around you and it looks like you're killing them because they're not going to believe you that, it, you know what I mean?
Like, I kind of agree with you both. Like when James talking about like kind of how he's like looking at the fame, I almost wanted to go super left. Like when he's kind of smiling, when he's looking at the news, I'm like, okay, cool. It happened once. Is he going to go more down this rabbit hole of like, I'm getting more and more famous. My artist, like literally I was like, is it going to come to a point where like, Tiana's character does become the last girl and like he is legit Candyman, but it's one of those things where like they had a conversation, I'm famous now, like I'm doing this thing with my art, like I'm touched, like, and then she's like, yo, you're going, I thought it was gonna be like you're losing it, like no, I'm doing this thing. Like
they totally could have done like that scene when she does confront him, there needed to be dialogue like that, like he needed there needed to be, you know, but instead that was him. Instead, they went the other way. It was him trying to stop her from following Candyman. I don't know. Yeah, it's confusing.
But I will say this. I do want to talk about some of the roses in the movie. And I think we touched on it. Like Nia's directing, yo. There were some shots. First off,
the art
all of
death
them,
scene
all of
is
them. The art death is so crazy because so I love the fact that like he takes so long to get there. And you're right, Bray. If he was more of a Freddy dude and almost enjoying this shit, because they set it up like that when he's like when the white dude is looking and he's over by like the screen and he's just like living life, hands up in the air, just slowly slashing shit. But like, so that shot is cool. But there was something so cool to me, and it's not the best shot, like there's better shots in the movie, but it was so creative, is like when he leaves the art dealer's house and I thought she was dead in the room already, in the bathroom, and then when the camera comes out,
right, that's what everybody thought,
maybe she's fine,
and then she comes out and you're like, oh, maybe she didn't,
like that drone shot, and it's just like her getting lifted and then just like smack. I was like, yo, this shit is crazy.
Slash dead.
We watched the trailer again after the movie, and in the trailer we see the art critic say Candyman in the mirror, but they cut that they cut from the movie to keep it more ominous. And I thought that was a great cut.
It is a great cut because that death is again not scary, but like visually very cool to see, like, oh snap, she just died. And I just again want to talk about this, like the art gallery death, because it's like, I mean, it's
the
like it's weird.
Disgusting. The guy is like, disgusting.
People, like this couple is freaking weird. The guy seems gross. The girl seems young. Anyway, she like hooks herself to him with this little like harness thing. But we see Candyman.
Love that.
Only in the reflections. So we never, he's not there. He's only in the reflections, but everything he does in the reflection affects them in the real world. So he slashes this woman's throat.
And then the guy's just smart.
Like, is this real?
Like, yeah, what's happening?
Which I actually, that was like, now that's real. That's a real reaction to be like, if somebody's throat just somehow got slashed, but there was nobody there, you just go, what's that? Like, yeah. You can't believe it. Like, it's so unbelievable that you're just like, what is this real? What's going on? And then like, we see him in the back. We see him cut the screen in the mirror and he's like looking at the screen getting cut, but there's nobody there. And he's looking at the mirror and he's seeing this guy and he's like, oh my God, I got to get out of here. And then we see him getting dragged
by nothing.
But then we see the mirror. Like as he comes back, each mirror we see him dragging him. I was like, this is so like, but and it also see. I think I got disappointed because the fact that we couldn't see him at all made me go, oh man. So when Yaya starts showing up at places, they're going to have video camera footage and be like, bro, look, like, you know what I mean?
It was
like,
you here.
It was clearly you, because there ain't nobody else there.
Of him, when the white girls all got in the bathroom, because that shot's so cool, because...
Oh, right. Goodness.
Oh, my, you see physically none of them. You see the hook go through none of them, but you just keep hearing the sound effects and the sound. And it's funny because what it sounds like, because we're looking at it from the black girl who has the headphones on, the audio kind of goes up a little bit to compete with her sounds. So you just hear crunching and shit. And then there's literally one shot. It's, I don't know why I'm smiling, but it's the one shot of the girl like under the toilet, like trying to get out, and you see her get dragged. Yeah, you see the drag in the pocket mirror. I was like, yo, this shit is crazy. Like, I thought that was great. Again, it's not scary, but it's like visually cool. And I like when things like happen during the daytime, because to me, like, that's the part of a horror movie when you're like, oh, everything's off the page. Like, niggas got murked at breakfast. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't need jump scares, but I'm like, I think two jump scares would have just changed the trajectory of the movie a little bit, just because it would have gave you that scare factor with the art a little bit. But I think this shit looked good, man. It looked good.
But I also guess what's going to happen to that black girl that was in the stall? Like, is she now incriminated because she can't get out of there without touching some blood?
That's like, true. It is kind of like, how is she not incriminated? Yeah. I guess there was a window in that bathroom, and they could have been like, clearly somebody came through the window, just murdered all these people. It is one of these things too, when the name gets spread, but this movie is still so confined. Like, even though they're saying like, say my name, I'm like, so at this point, like, wouldn't a lot of people get it? Like, it's like on the news. Like, I don't know. Anyway, but we don't need to go down that rabbit hole. But
also, I still don't think I understand. Can you guys, like, for real, like, I genuinely don't understand. Can y'all explain the Coleman Domingo stuff? Like, does anybody know what?
I think James tried to explain it.
Right? I really think it's just that he says we need Candyman. We need, he calls him something. We need our vengeful spirit back or something. He's just saying that, you know, without him, without that spirit, even though there will be people that will die, there will be innocents that will die. And he said, it's the same dialogue from the first movie. He says, like, they'll call you innocent, but like, they're borrowing the same language, but trying to justify it a little bit more. But like, you know, even though innocents will die, there'll still be this figure that can protect us, or that can, you know. And so he was just like, I'm going to turn this boy. I'm going to, you know, that boy that he was trying to get, for some reason, it has to be him. for some reason that we'll never know. It has to be Anthony McCoy.
Yeah. It went from just being a baby to like, no, it's actually this specific person.
Yeah.
Cause I was like, the first movie, it was just about a baby. It wasn't about like who this boy was, like the DNA of this child. It was just like a child.
What was the deal?
And it just happened to be that child got chosen.
What was happening to Yaya? Like, how was he in a trance?
He was somehow becoming Candyman because of the bee.
He was bit by that bee. He was bit by the Candyman bee.
Even though, I think, you know what it is? It's just the fact that he did say Candyman 5 times.
Yes.
Pretty close to the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's the first person, and he summoned him. He summoned him immediately.
And also, like, we don't know that Helen resembles the white woman until the end, you know, when we see one of the paintings is her, which is confusing too. It's like, what even is that painting? How did that get there? Who did it? What it, you know, maybe he did, maybe the ghost did it, right? Cause he was a painter, but you know, but it's like, it's just, she happens to say Candyman at the beginning, and it just so happens that she very closely resembles this woman. You know what I mean? It's there's so many things that are just like, I guess this is the story, you know?
his girl. First off, yo, last girl vibes, she killed Coleman Domingo. Like, that joint, like, and the thing that was so crazy is the reason I thought she was going to be a part of it, because they kept talking about her dark past, like, with her dad, which is so terrible. Him. And, like, they talk about it, like, it comes up twice. It comes up...
Why did Coleman Domingo change? Why did he need her? What was the idea of having her?
Because she was looking for him, maybe? It was, like, the last...
It was something like he says in it that they're going to find either that he killed you or that you
got it.
Oh, the idea was going to be the only one that survived or something.
Was Coleman Domingo going to kill her and set Yaya up to look like he killed his girlfriend and then have him get murdered by the cops, which again doesn't fully make sense, because the first cop murder happened because, like, they thought he, like, killed a little white girl, you know? And it's like, I don't know, a black, like, cops coming and crawling, a black man killing a black woman. Are they really about to shoot that black man to death? Like, just on sight?
I mean, they might shoot him because he's black.
I understand that, but, like, not like, he, you know what I mean? Like, it's not that girls. Revenge was, fact. I don't know. It just, killed five again, white whatever. Girls. It's broad brush.
Yeah, they was coming after him. Like, they,
I don't understand that. Oh, that's true. The three white girls. So now, did they connect him? Because in the news, they were like, it all seems to be connected over this painting. But it never seemed like we ever got a thing of, like, we suspect this kid, like, this guy.
I think Coleman was going to set it up. Like, I think Coleman would have been, like, probably would have injured himself. But, like, he did it. He killed his girlfriend. He's been killing everybody.
I know, but the thing that I don't understand is, why did the cops come in and just immediately shoot Yaya when he's on the ground, that Tiona has him in his arms?
I think that plays tribute to, like, and this is just me assuming, but I think that plays tribute to, like, oh my God. Ooh, that is terrible. Please, black people, don't be mad at me.
For Lando Castillo?
Not Lando. I mean, that happened to Lando. But also,
guy who got shot trying to, like, you know.
Yeah, that also happened. This is not even a bit, people at home. That also happened to him too. I'm thinking about the civil rights leader who was killed, like, sleeping next to his girlfriend in bed, even though he didn't even move.
You're talking about Fred Hampton?
Fred Hampton, yeah, I was thinking about Fred Hampton.
Oh shit.
Well, he got assassinated, but that was like a targeted thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, there was no indication that these people knew that there was a guy or with a hook running around killing people.
I mean,
I don't remember there being a scene where it was clearly connected to him. It only made sense to me and to all of us after the fact, when the cop is like, we all saw what happened, right? He was there with his hook and we da 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 and he had.
I know, but that's so forced. All right.
But don't forget, Coleman called and told him everything. Like, Coleman said the guy...
Oh, that's true. Coleman did call and say there was a man with a hook.
And he killed... Coleman said, that's like, right. I told
oh,
him
he killed
here.
The little girls.
He killed the girls. He killed... Like, they said he was
here.
Oh,
okay. Sorry. My bad.
And the thing is... And also...
So just right, based
right,
off...
He set it up.
Call.
He set
but,
it up.
But think
he
about it. Think about it. There's been...
God
there's
damn.
Been, in real life.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But
you're right.
Think about
right.
that little black boy.
Enough. Fair enough.
It is enough.
No, you're right, actually. You're right.
Yeah, in real life, no, bro. We're going to talk about it now. Think about every time. Like, I think about that little black boy who was just playing with a BB gun. And he was like, it's a boy with a gun. And the cops, this video
you're right.
of the
no,
cop.
No, you're I'm, I.
They
you're
don't
right.
hit the brakes.
That's all it takes. It's just one. And he also, he had a different voice. Coleman had a different voice when he was talking to those cops.
You know he sounded white when he called. You know he sounded, he came with the clear white people voice. There's someone, like, you know his voice wasn't deep as shit.
Yeah, and Elijah McClain just had a ski mask on because he was cold. Because
he was cold!
That's all.
They killed
had.
A black boy at a bus stop and they didn't fucking hit the brakes. I will never let
that's
go.
True.
It's like,
they also killed that dude in Ohio in a Walmart because he was walking around with a BB gun that he got from
was,
the store.
They sell.
In comparison.
From the store.
In comparison.
From the where was the shelf? Was the shelf right over there? Was the shelf of BB guns right over
grabbable.
There?
Grabbable. Also, this is not a political podcast, but there was a white man who tried to bomb. Like, he was like, he had a bomb outside the Capitol. Ask me, did this nigga make it to prison safe? Somebody, come on, ask me. Somebody, Melissa, you can even put it in the chat. Ask me, did this nigga make it safe? This nigga made it safe. Had a bomb. There was a nigga in Florida where my parents live who literally shot up a place, had a chase on the freeway. White dude made it back to jail. I seen a video of a white dude tase a cop, made it safe. I seen another white dude who literally pushed the cop, took that nigga car, made it safe.
So everything that Jarrah is saying right now, I'm telling you, I had one instance. Everything Jarrah is saying right now, I'm telling you, I had an instance of, I don't like that he's coming out here and only killing these cops. But then the moment that the bees went away and we saw Tony Todd look at Tiana and say, tell everyone. I was like, fuck yes, tell everybody. I was like, tell everybody. You better tell everybody. Fuck these. And then we cut to the beautiful puppet. Oh, it was beautiful. We're seeing all of this shit. I wasn't
paying attention to that puppetry.
Some of them I think were, and I'll send you guys right now. I think some of them were supposed to be based. I mean, it's
It's hard too because we know that there is, you know, candy. These people couldn't become Candyman and this couldn't happen to them, you know. But it was like, thank goodness there's this movie that's saying, you know what, fuck this. This injustice, these unjust deaths that happen, they shouldn't have happened.
But then, James, to me, not to cut you, I'm sorry, but then to
no,
me...
No, please, it's fine. I was done.
No, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was done.
More black people.
See, yes, that's what I'm saying. For me, at that point then, protect me then, dog. Like, if you're going to be a full frame protector...
I had the same problem in the first movie, like, which I guess does make a little bit more sense. If he's indiscriminately killing because he's just a vengeful spirit. Right.
But don't venge me.
We forgot to say specifically, by the way, that so the reason that this ending kind of doesn't really make sense is because so Coleman Domingo has captured Yaya somehow. Yaya's just kind of there in the trance. He winds up capturing Tiona, the Paris's character too. He has both of them tied up. He's like explaining all this stuff, like we need Candyman back, and I'm gonna make this dude Candyman, and you know, blah 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 blah. He winds up cutting off Yaya's hand and sticking a hook in it, like it's really graphic and disgusting. Tiona gets away. He chases her down. She winds up getting the jump on him and killing him. Yaya just, I guess, snapped out of his trance for whatever reason and followed them. And then he's like, I think they're dead. We hear the cops coming. The cops come in. They immediately shoot Yaya. They take her into custody. She's in the back of this police truck, like crying. And then he's like, all right, you know what happened. Like, you know, just say that, you know, he came at us and that we had to shoot him. And then you'll go home free or not. We'll say you're an accomplice. And then she's like, I'll say whatever you want. Just point that mirror towards me. And he's like, what? And he's like, just point the mirror towards me. I'll say whatever you want. And then she says Candyman four times. And then the guy goes, what are you saying? Candyman? And he says it the fifth time. And then Candyman appears and then kills all of the other cops that are there. it kills this guy last. Kills all the other cops who are not in the car, who didn't witness or hear this transaction that just happened, kills them all, and then kills this guy, and then appears to her as the bees and says, say my name. Now, the rules are fully broken at this point, because you have to summon him for him to be able to kill you. That was the whole thing. And then also, he appears in mirrors. It feels like he was there in real life now, right? He wasn't just in the mirror anymore. It was just like Yaya came back to life.
It was Yaya's body. Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. It doesn't, I mean, there's no explanation for it.
I swear to you, just I had no idea why he was killing the baby in the first one. I'm telling you, it made no sense. Well, no, the baby was always bait. That's what it was. The baby was just bait. I have to keep telling myself the baby was just bait for Helen. That's yeah. all the baby
and it
was.
Worked.
Baby was, and it worked. And it worked. I have to keep reminding myself that. But in this one, now the baby is Stop you it. Know, is going to be Candyman.
I mean, and again, it's hard because, you know, I have a lot of friends.
But now
like
Candyman
it,
but... is different. Is now can no, yes, are we supposed to believe
know, so Ray, we
are we supposed
know.
To believe that Candyman now like he doesn't need anybody to say his name. He can now just go around killing people whoever he wants. He just exists on this moral plane.
Oh no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I do think that like I do
then what's
think
happening?
That the, yeah, I do think that I do think it's exactly what they show us, which is like, you know. The cop completed it, and the cops were all killed, and Candyman lets her live. I think that's what it is. I don't think it's anything more than that.
I wish they just wrote a like an interesting way for her to get all these cops to say Candyman so that she
yes
could...
yes.
So I just feel like just do that.
Yeah, like
I
she
feel
writes
like they're like
confession.
I don't know. This is
she
we
writes
don't know.
Her confession and she tells them to yeah. to. I won't, she says the same thing, you know, like, you know, I won't sign this confession unless you say this out loud.
Yeah.
You know,
like also, if it's,
she tells them all to say it out loud. I won't sign it, you know,
yeah.
I won't prove that I did this unless you all say it out loud.
Or like, even if you had it where like it was in the interrogation room and the guy
yeah, and
is reading it back to the mirror and the guy's reading Ooh. It to the people. But it counts because it's a reverse mirror, and also they are on like a black mirror.
Yeah, that would 100%
drop.
That would have been.
I thought of that.
And,
yeah, it's like I thought of the same thing. I was like, you could have just had her in an interrogation room. There's a mirror right. There's a double sided mirror there.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
But, and then it could have been cool.
That would have been really
because then
cool.
It could have been cool because as like as the guy's reading it, you know, the lights in the onlookers room could have started flashing, and then you could have seen him just going through motherfuckers. And if he'd have walked through the fucking mirror, if he'd have walked through that mirror, grabbed
but what
that
if
nigga?
They, what if the only reason they didn't do it was because they wanted her to be somewhere that she could easily get away or whatever?
I was about to say, like, I don't believe she got away.
Wait, break. I mean, James, I got something for that.
More cops
I wasn't
come at
done
the
yet.
End of it.
I wasn't done for that,
oh,
baby.
Ooh,
my
okay,
thing
go.
Is, what could have happened was, and legit, this is how I thought was gonna happen is like, if you did it this way, he would murk everybody. You wouldn't even see him talk to her. He could have put in the mirror, but you could have heard the voice say my name and then just open the door. And then as she walks out, the lights are like blinking everywhere. I mean, this would have been, the rules would have been broken, but like motherfuckers would have just been murked all over the place.
The two-way mirror interrogation ending would have been really fantastic. Like that would have been like, that would have been so cool. Like that especially because of how the use of mirrors throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, I that would have been amazing. It's a shame that they didn't do
Someone
that.
Should let us write a movie, man. Well, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, the niggas
it's really
the,
a shame they didn't do that.
I mean, look, all I was
this
like,
dude just comes out, just comes back from the dead and just walks and starts I like when that was happening, I was just like, what are we doing?
And if they wanted that, right? If they still wanted Yaya, like his body could have been at the
morgue.
His body could have
it could have been at the morgue. It could have been at
the morgue of the police station.
They could have literally turned him into like a Jason / Freddy Krueger, which I think is the ultimate goal for him. Anyway, I will say this though, for Hollywood and Jordan Peele, I love Nia's story. Like again, I've never met her, but I have a lot of friends in New York who do know her. Like black woman was a PA, like wrote her film, got into the Sundance Director's Lab. End up making her film with Tessa Thompson and Lily James. Through that movie, pitched Candyman. Jordan liked the idea, wrote it with her. And then like, it looks, you know what it is? Because people kept saying, oh, it looks like a Jordan Peele movie. And it does have Jordan Peele tendencies. But when you look at the actual directing of the film, you can see her taste in it. Like to me, it's like how she frames certain shots. And like, yes, the color aesthetic kind of feels like that. But like, her use of like showing these creative depths, kind of how like Braylock said, is like, I like that is something that she does. Whereas like, you know, if you compare it to Us or Get Out, like that's not what Jordan did. So her taste and her style is definitely in this movie. And I cannot wait to see Lily, you watched somebody take a chance. And like, it's so cool because it's like a black person took a chance on a black person. You know what I mean? It was like, yo, she was 29, 30. I ain't never, like, outside of, like, Ryan Coogler, who I think was around the same age, I've never heard of Hollywood taking a chance on a black director or writer like that fast. You know what I mean? Like, I am thoroughly excited that that exists. And like that hopefully is a trend, because that's cool. Like, honestly, that shit is so cool to me.
And I mean, the directors in the 90s were pretty young, like John Singleton and stuff when they were making those movies. But
true. But like, when does that happen? That was like 1992.
Yeah.
Like Spike Lee did that shit himself. Like outside of John, I mean, Anton Fuqua wasn't that young and he did a bunch on his own. Like, I don't know. And then also we have an opportunity now to have what a lot of male actors and directors have, which is like, you know, the male director who, you know, Tim Burton has Johnny Depp in a bunch of movies. Spike Lee has Denzel in a bunch of movies. Now, going into Marvel's, that'd be the second movie that Nia and Tiona does. And they do a third one. Like, we got, like, they make movies together. You know, like Ryan Coogler and Michael B. I'm like, anyway, I just like this vibe and energy that I just really like it. You know what I mean?
This is what I would have loved to have happened in this movie. This would have been pretty fantastic if this happened. So Tiana's in the squad car, and she's like waiting for the other cops to come back, right? And the cops come out, and they're about to go. The one cop's about to open the door, but right before he does, a basketball falls into his hands, and he looks at it, and he reads the basketball and it's written all over it. Candyman. And he reads it five times. And then suddenly we just hear a voice. Run. Tiana looks over and Steel is there. And then Yaya gets up and Steel is using his hammer and he shoots the cops down. And Yaya is slinging the hook, and it's Steel and Candyman together.
Oh wait, James, can they do one of those team up moves where like Yaya takes his hook off, puts it in the end of Steel's gun, and then Steel shoots that, and that gets the last. It just shoots the hook.
Yaya holds up his hook. Steel jumps up, hooks his hammer into the thing, swings around and kicks all the cops as he flies around. Man, that would have been dope.
Wow. Honestly, I thought you were going to do Hancock for some random reason. I don't know. Braylock, take us home. Come on, man.
Oh my goodness. It's time for The Cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether they help the cause of more leading Black actors in Hollywood. If we feel like the film fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist. Somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If we feel like it didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. So on the count of three, we'll raise up our ratings for Candyman 2021. One, two, three.
Three black fists.
Had to. I don't know if y'all can tell, but my fist was made of bees.
James, stop this.
When I did it, because it was
James,
bees.
James.
Okay.
James. Like, why, James? Why?
Because yeah, it was made of
I had
bees.
To give it a black
Y'all know
fist.
How there's bees in the movie?
Okay. Braylock, you please say you're... Like, I don't know what James is doing right now.
You know, Yaya continually rising. Tiana continually rising. I mean, Nita Costa's continually rising. It's just, you know, this is good
it
for
did,
everybody.
It did the thing. Yeah, this movie literally put everybody on. She became the first Black woman with a number one movie.
That's amazing. And this dude, Nathan Stewart Jarrett,
which, does that means that when Wrinkled in Time came out, it wasn't number one, huh?
No, it was. Remember, it was number two
to Black Panther.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, damn.
And then Selma didn't debut at number one either. And it would only, like, literally, we've had so few, like, Black female directors. It's like, when you think about who had the chance, it was only within like the last decade.
Wrinkled in Time had like $100 million budget for that to not debut number one is tough.
I think they did too many changes from. We talked about it. We saw it. Yeah, I get why, you know, certain things happen with that movie. Sometimes you can't be too philosophical. Anyway, I gave it a fist because exactly what Bray is saying. Everybody got on, and I think it genuinely helped. I think it helped the cause of Black actors and directors in Hollywood. Like, it did the thing. See ya.
Yep. Same. Ditto. And my fist was made of bees.
James, why? Why did we do this? That's it. We did it.
Thank you for listening. Next week, we definitely are going to try to review, I think.
Shang-Chi
and the Ten
What's
Rings.
What's the full title?
Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings.
And the Ten Rings.
You can follow us at Black Man Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackManPodcast.com is our website. You find links to our merchandise. I believe our live show has passed, but we'll have another one in October.
Yeah. Wait, no, this may come out the week of the live show. So it should be this Thursday.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's right. It's this Thursday, September 16th, 7 p.m. And you can find a link to for tickets on the web on blackmanpodcast.com.
Hey.
Also, if you rate and review us, give us 5 stars. We'll read your review on the air. Let's see. Did I read this one? Soul Brother Poncho Furious. I really enjoy listening to this podcast and the dialogue between you three. A great movie to review on the podcast would be Clockers. It is a Spike Lee joint. Started Mekhi Phifer's career and has a mostly black cast and deals with drug dealers corrupting the youth and cops corrupting the neighborhood. And can you bring back the swirl for this episode? And what is the name of that jazz music you played doing the swirl?
Oh, that was an old school. I have no clue what that is. Hold on, let me look up Clockers.
When we do the swirl now, do we still play that music? Because it do pop up every now and again, the swirl.
I need to find it. I need to find the music. Because I
have it. Yeah, I have it.
I need to. Okay, like, I don't have it. Oh, John Turturro's in this movie too? Like, what is this movie, Clockers? Lord have mercy. Look at Mekhi Phifer. He's so young.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we got to get the music back. You can follow me at John Braylock. JohnBraylock.com is our website.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy. James Third Comedy. .com. Third is 3RD.
You can follow me at Dry Milligan on Twitter and Instagram.
See you next week.
Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
Forever Dog.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile Coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.